46, and let's look at verse 9. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning. Say, declaring.
Declaring.
The end. From the beginning. So this is God's method. This is how he does things. He's declaring the end, the way it's going to end up, from the beginning. And one way you could say that, and I'm going to be talking about this a lot today and in the future, is full circle. You're going from the beginning to the end, and the end is a lot like the beginning, and the beginning is a lot like the end. You understand? That would be a complete circle. Say full circle.
Full circle.
Well, there's a completeness found in worshiping the Holy Ghost that can't be found anywhere else. Why is that? Because the Holy Ghost is God in the earth. How did they walk in the earth before? In the beginning, they walked with God, right? Well, God's back in the earth, and we get to walk with him. We're going a complete circle. So there's a completeness found in worshiping the Holy Ghost that you can't find anywhere else. Other places don't go there. We have to go there. Say, we have to.
We have to.
We have to go there. God's plan was never for to send Adam and Eve into the earth, man into the earth, so he could die and go to heaven. Does that even make sense on any level? No. I'm going to create man so they can go into the earth and die and then go to heaven. That was never his intent. It wasn't the original intent. It wasn't his plan. Right? Well, that's where Christianity wants to go, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Holy Ghost worship goes beyond that, full circle. God's plan was never to send man into the earth so he could die and go to heaven. His plan was to walk with God in the earth and worship him. Mm-hmm. Right? Dying came after. That was the devil's plan, to kill, steal, and destroy. Yeah. The devil tried to kill him. Well, he did. Right? So God's plan was always for man to walk with him in the earth and worship him. Well, where are we in our day and age? We're in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Jesus went into heaven and sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is now in the earth, right? Who do we walk with? God the Holy Ghost in the earth. We've come full circle. Say,
we've come.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Now we need to embrace it. And the only way you can embrace it is to have your thinking changed. And I'm telling you, I have changed so much over the last at least year. I mean, I've changed up until then too, but so much in worshiping the Holy Ghost, my whole outlook is completely different. Things that I used to hold on to have just fallen away. I can't even go there anymore. I would give people a warning, and I've told people this before, you know, if you don't want to have your theology completely messed up, don't worship the Holy Ghost, because when you start worshiping him, he's going to start he Rubik's cubes you. You've seen a Rubik's cube, right? Well, think about religion right now. Think about Christianity. It looks like a messed up Rubik's cube. There's all these little parts and pieces all over the place, and this person likes it this way with the green on the side and three red dots, and this one likes that one. You understand? But then you start worshiping the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today, and he straightens it all out in, like, you know, a half a second. Some people can do it real quick, you know, but it takes the Holy Ghost so long to move all your little Rubik's cubes around because you're resisting him. Like, you're stuck on the inside, you like it one way. Well, you got to let him start moving around. I'm telling you, I've come to a place where I've been altered, where I worship God in the earth today. I wake up in the morning with the Holy Ghost, and I walk throughout the day speaking his words with God in the Spirit, right? What is that? That's full circle. I was never there trying to hold on to other people's doctrines and the way they had it all not squared away. Are you getting this? So it's still his plan. His original intent was to put man into the earth so he could walk with God. And how did he walk with God in the earth? We'll get into this a little bit, but how did he walk with God? By speaking words. Remember, because he was created in God's image, how did God do things? How did Adam know, at least up to that point, how God did anything? He said it and it came to pass. Said it, came to pass. Adam was made in God's image. How did he walk with God? He said things and they came to pass. That's all he knew.
Hallelujah.
Until they sinned, then he knew, oops. We'll get into a little bit. So God's original intent was for man to walk with him in the earth. Man fell. Do you remember when I showed you that equation the other day? We had the Holy Ghost and you, and then sin was added to it. And we had to get rid of the equation was to have Jesus come in and get rid of the sin. Once he crossed out the sin and went away, say went away, what did he leave in the earth? The Holy Ghost and you, original intent. Right? And if you die, you go to heaven, benefit. But that's not the original intent.
Right.
Original intent is in the earth, walking with God, speaking words, right?
Yeah.
We've gone full circle. And the only way to get full circle is by worshiping God, the Holy Ghost. We know who we worship. How do we know who we worship? Because we've been instructed in what the one that Jesus sent. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
All right. So once Jesus took care of sin, he left two. Two walked together in agreement. Amos 3, right?
Yeah.
Who are the two that walk together? You and God. Who's God? The Holy Ghost. Should you worship God?
Yes.
All right. So let's go to we'll probably go back to Isaiah if you want to hold your place there, because that's so good. He declares the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, right? Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Full circle. Acts chapter 2, remember, verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. I'm probably talking fast, but that's okay. I got a lot of stuff to get through, right? This is the instance of the Holy Ghost coming into the earth, into his brand new dispensation, meaning the dispensation that was right before it is what? Over. It's over. Now there's a brand new guy in town. Holy Ghost, right? And we can see him throughout the rest of the book of Acts, leading the church, guiding the church, speaking of himself,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All these things that the major portions of Christianity reject, which means they can't go to where we're talking about, full circle, walking with the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today.
Hallelujah.
So, look down at verse 15, Acts chapter 2, verse 15. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that, say this is that.
This is that.
This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So, here's Peter telling them that this is a fulfillment of what the prophet Joel was talking about. Do you understand that? Holy Ghost coming into the earth is a fulfillment of what the prophet Joel is talking about. He goes, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters prophesy. And it goes on to say all of this stuff. Okay, let's go back to the book of Joel. Again, I'm just moving through these things quickly so there's a good foundation on which to build what I'm saying. Joel chapter 2. And let's just read right to verse 3. Joel chapter 2, verse 3. A fire devours. Now remember, what was Peter saying? He was saying that this is that which Joel prophesied. So we're going to go look back at Joel and see some of the other things that he prophesied about the Holy Ghost coming.
Praise God.
You getting it? Verse 3, chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 3. A fire devours before them. Behind them a flame burns. The land... Say the land.
The land
is as a guard, is as the Garden of Eden before them. Now, what's the land? The land would be the earth. Did you know that? I'm not talking about the moon. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Before them means what they're going towards.
Yes.
Right? So part of the prophecy about Joel of the Holy Ghost coming is people that move and receive the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today and worship Him. What's before them? The Garden of Eden. They're going, it's before them. They're moving into it. Say, moving into it.
Moving into it.
Right? Now, I got a lot to say about that, but can't go that far this morning. But that's where we're going. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Now, remember, God said in Isaiah 46, He says, He prophesies, declares the end from the beginning. So here's Joel way before the Holy Ghost dispensation. He was telling you what it was going to be like, right? It's going to be these people that receive the Holy Ghost are going to be going towards, moving into what it was like in the beginning. And from beginning, beginning from end. Do you remember that Jesus said, the last shall be first, the first shall be last? Matthew 20:16, if you want to look it up. The last shall be as the first. The first shall be as the last. What was the first? Adam and Eve. What were the last? It's as the Garden of Eden before them. So they're moving full circle. Face full circle. When Jesus says the last as the first, full circle. When God's saying declaring the end from the beginning, full circle. Where are we supposed to go? Full circle. Now, a couple questions here, and I know those probably irritate some people, but just keep listening and you'll be able to move on from that. Were Adam and Eve Christians?
No.
No, neither should we be, because we're going full circle. Mm-hmm. You understand? It doesn't mean we didn't have to come through redemption, but once we're redeemed, we're standing in what? The same thing, full circle, the place that Adam and Eve were. Because if you keep holding on to this Christianity, I'm telling you, it's going to hold you back. You won't be able to go full circle. With Christianity comes Christian manifestations. With Holy Ghost worship comes hedonic manifestations. What's hedonic manifestations? Full circle. Christianity doesn't go far enough. And oh my goodness, God help us. I have preached so much on this that if this is still stumbling, go back and listen to like the last 45 messages. Christianity won't go here. Christianity rejects the Holy Ghost as the only God in the earth today. They will say it in part of their doctrine, but the rest of their doctrine doesn't mesh up with that. Are you against Christianity? Of course not. But it doesn't go far enough. And once you begin to worship the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today, what begins to happen? He refashions your whole foundation to where you're walking with Him in the earth. Well, you're doing away with Jesus. That is borderline retarded. That is not true. You have to receive what Jesus did, the full measure, say full measure, full measure of what Jesus did, to re-embrace who the Holy Ghost is. The problem with most Christianity is they're rejecting the one that Jesus sent. I can't get caught up on this aspect of it. Again, there are probably hundreds of messages based on this where I'm explaining this in great detail. Go to Hebrews. And I'm not attacking Christianity. I'm just pointing out the deficit there, that because of the way they're basing things, remember their gospel. Go to almost any Christian church. Where does their gospel take you? To heaven when you die. Name one. I've been to plenty of them. Name one that says Jesus left you and the Holy Ghost is the only God in the earth today. That's the only way you're going to get to full circle, full manifestation of hedonic manifestation of God in the earth. What's the hedonic manifestation? It's weird. These words are so weird. Hedonic manifestation. They walked with God in the earth without any consciousness of sins, right? And they walked by speaking words. Where are we supposed to be in our day? Full circle. Are you here?
Amen.
I hope you're okay, because I have a statement coming up here that if that one was rough, God help me. We're Adam and Eve Christians. No, then neither should you be. Why? Because Christianity goes so far, and it can't go here. Can't go where? It can't go to full circle. It can't go to the hedonic manifestation, which is God's original intent, because it's been perverted. All right? All right, go to, where did I say, Hebrews? Come on, Bible, help me. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at verse 2. Are you there? Hebrews 10 verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, say worshipers.
Worshipers.
Bible's calling them worshipers. Worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. They say should have.
No more.
Conscience.
Of sins.
Now, did Adam and Eve have no more conscience of sins? They had no conscience of sins, and it didn't come in until sin came in, right? So when we go full circle, we will be going back to walking with God with no conscience of sins. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Should have no more conscience of sins. Verse 12. But this man, we're talking about Jesus, after he had once offered one sacrifice for sins forever, say forever. Sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Who are we talking about? Jesus. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever, went into heaven, sat down on the right hand of God. You understand that? Where's Jesus now? There, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Part of which was talked about in the book of Genesis at the beginning, declaring the end from the beginning. Are you here? Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness for us. Are you getting this? So church has been just playing around. If you ask me, the church has been playing around with redemption. This church believes that you can be redeemed from this. This church believes you can be redeemed from that, but not this. This church doesn't believe that there's healing in the atonement. If there's no healing in the atonement, how did he pay the full price? He forever perfected, right? We've been playing around with it. We can't. We have to say that, is Jesus finished or not? Did he finish it? Well, if he finished it, then us fully receiving what he did puts us where? Back in hedonic manifestation. Did he remove our conscience of sins? Did he pay for that?
Yes, he did.
The worshipers, say the worshipers. The worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. So here it's connecting worship with being purged from any conscience of sins. When you worship the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today, you have no more conscience of sins. What is that? Where does that put you? Full circle. Go ask most Christians. Some of them get little bits of this. Go ask most Christians. What are you? I'm a sinner saved by grace. You can't be a sinner saved by grace. You're either saved by grace or you're a sinner. If you're a sinner, you need to get saved. If you get saved, you need to worship the Holy Ghost so you can be purged from that consciousness of sins, right? So you can walk full circle with God the Holy Ghost in the earth today by speaking.
Hallelujah.
Are you getting this? Let me ask you, I think about an hedonic manifestation. I'm talking about the way they walked with God in the beginning. We're supposed to go the end from the beginning from the end. The end is much like the beginning, right? The beginning will be much like the end. How did they walk with God in the earth in the beginning? They walk with God in the spirit. I will show you that in a little bit. With no conscience of sins.
Praise God.
right? And they walked with him by speaking words. Walked with him who? The Holy Ghost, because he was God in the earth. And now Jesus paid the price so that we could do the same thing today. Worshippers once purged. Are you getting this? All right. Playing around with redemption. Now, here we got another example of Jesus being called even something farther than everybody. We preach about Jesus here, you understand that. He's also called the second Adam. Say the second Adam.
Second Adam.
Why would Jesus be called the second Adam? Because he paid the full price for what the first Adam lost. Now, if Jesus paid the price for what the first Adam lost, then the people who receive that price paid and worship God will be walking in what the first Adam lost, right? Yes. Full circle.
Hallelujah.
Was Jesus a Christian? Did Jesus need to be a Christian? No, Jesus was Jesus. But when we receive Jesus, it doesn't make us a form of some kind of religious thing. He's the second Adam, so that we, when we receive what he did, it just puts us back without, forget Christianity. I know this is a rough man, but forget about it. It just puts us back full circle where God wants us to be. What are you? What are you? I just am, right? I am what God says I am. The second man, Adam, came to redeem us from all, say all that the first Adam lost, which what makes us able to walk with God in the earth today with no conscience of sins, speaking words, just like they did in the beginning, right? Full circle. I hope you're getting this. So we've got, in the beginning, think about Edenic manifestation. What were they like? What we know about Adam and Eve? They walked with God. Where are we today? We walk with God, the Holy Ghost, in the earth. They were in the earth, right? They had no conscience of sins. Where should we be today? No conscience of sins. How did they walk with God in the earth? By speaking words. How do we walk with God in the earth? By speaking words. Full circle. All right, let's go back to Genesis. We're getting there. This is a lot to swallow. Tell me about it. It's why you have to have all your Rubik's cube re-straightened out, because most people are messed up. They've got some kind of theology misplaced over here, and it keeps them. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Simple. When I explain this, it's simple. Second man Adam came to redeem you from what the first man Adam blew up. So where does that leave us? Protestants. No, where does it leave you? It leaves you full circle. It leaves you, right? Genesis chapter 3. The problem is you can't get there unless you know who you worship. You know that God is the Holy Ghost. Right? He's God in the earth today. All right, Genesis chapter 3. I hope I'm getting this across. Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 2 first, and let's look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Say, a living soul. Well, a living soul, if you look up the Hebrew words, it means a speaking spirit. He was the only one made in the earth who had the ability to speak things out of his spirit and have them come to pass. God made him, man, in his image. God was a speaking spirit. Are you here? Was God a speaking spirit? Yes. He spoke things that came to pass. He made man in his image. So man must of necessity have been made a speaking spirit. Right? Go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Where did they hear the voice? Say the voice.
The voice.
What is a voice? A voice is spoken words, right? Yeah. Walking in the garden. Where was the garden? The garden was in the earth. God was walking in the earth. In the cool of the day, the cool of the day means in the spirit, or the ruach, which is where we get the word spirit from. Why they put cool of the day, I don't know. Where was God walking? He was walking in the spirit. He walked with man, Adam and Eve. But when they fell, that's why they still heard the voice, but they were scared because they weren't fully walking in the spirit with God. Are you here? Glory be to God forever. Let's look at down at verse 24. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. And so he drove the man out. This is after they sinned. So he drove the man out, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword. Well, we got to read up a little bit farther. Let's read to verse 23. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Can you even imagine what these words were like to Adam and Eve at that point? Go till the ground. Remember, he said, now you're gonna work by the sweat of your brow and then die. So now you weren't just gonna die, you were gonna go out and work yourself to death. Ever heard of people working themselves to death? Are we supposed to work ourselves to death? No. Now, if we go full circle, he called verse 23 again. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove the man out and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every which way to keep the way of the tree of life. So everything that Adam and Eve knew about life changed. The way they walked in the garden, no conscience of sins. They walked with God. Everything they did, they walked by speaking words, because that's how God did things, right? It changed to what? Working to, well, we pretty much know what it changed to. Right? Sin, sickness, all this other stuff. Sickness came into the earth via sin, right? Was there any sickness in the earth before this? No, so it had to come through the vehicle of sin. Well, if the second man, Adam, came and put us back, what should we be reversed from? All of that to back where we're supposed to be. Yep. No consciousness of sins. Hallelujah. Walking with God in the earth today and speaking words. Have you ever heard me say that? The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with him by what? Speaking words. What is that? That's full circle. That's hedonic manifestation. Do we know how we get here? Of course we do. We can follow the whole trail of the Bible that brought us here from the beginning to the end, and the end is much like the beginning. He's declaring the end from the beginning. Where are we supposed to be? At the beginning or at the end? Doesn't matter, it's the same place. That's God's original intent, right? Are you getting this? Let's go to Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. Remember, God made man in his image. Are you getting any of this? Are you just irritated? Awesome. Both. I'm getting it and I'm irritated. Good. Sometimes you got to go through the irritation to get to where you should be. Let's go Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. And Jesus answered, saith unto them, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. This is the way God operates. He's telling people to do this. Who's telling people to do this? The second Adam is telling people to how to walk like the first Adam did. Have the faith of God. Remember, because Adam was created in the image of God, he a speaking spirit. Are you getting this at all? Have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. They didn't say whosoever shall get the biggest contractor and a bucket loader and a bunch of shovels and go work his way at this mountain will be able to remove it and cast it into the sea. Jesus is prophesying right the end from the beginning. This is where we're going. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Right? This is one of the Edonic manifestations. You mean Jesus talked about Edonic man? Yeah, maybe it didn't have that title on it, but that's exactly what he was talking about. Yep. Let's look at another one. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, let's look at I'll just read this real quick. Go to verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. So he was in the big ship. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and what? Rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Right? What kind of faith? That'd be the God kind of faith. That would be the Edonic manifestation kind of faith. Right? Are you getting this at all? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this, knowing what you know now? Was it just because he's the Son of God and he came down in all his full glory and was doing all this crazy stuff? No. He was walking with the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today and spoke words just like Adam. How would Adam would have dealt with that situation if a storm came into the garden? What would he do? Put up a storm barrier and got an umbrella. No, he would have rebuked it. What manner of man is it? Now think about this, just to bring this around a little bit here. How would Christianity interpret it, this, without a broad understanding of the full manifestation or full circle? They would interpret this, that this is just Jesus showing and proving that he's the Son of God. What manner of man is this? His disciples had no idea. They're like, what's going on? It wasn't time for them. They weren't purged of their sins. They weren't worshipers of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, as you worship the Holy Ghost, he'll bring you to this comprehension and understanding of Edonic manifestations, of walking with him as God in the earth. And we're very thankful for what Jesus did for us, bringing us to this place and sending the another that we can walk with him. But we don't just hold on to all of those things and go, No, we need to let him go. Which is exactly what he wanted. Right? Mm-hmm. All right. We're almost done. So the number one Edonic manifestations, we'll be talking about more than this, but predominantly, it's knowing who God is and walking with him. Remember, just like they did in the beginning, with no consciousness of sins. Just like they did in the beginning, and they walked with God by speaking words and speaking in agreement with his word. Are you getting this? So when I'm talking about Edonic manifestations, that's what I'm talking about. Predominantly. And then there's a whole bunch of other things that go along with that. Let's look at Isaiah one more time. Isaiah chapter 46. Because you got to understand, so much of what we've been doing is trying to bring us to this place. You understand that? We talk about this. That's where I'm saying we play around with redemption. It kind of brings us to this place. Well, at some point, you got to just be in that place. And then you don't call yourself what was bringing you to the place. You call yourself whatever you are in that place, right? Someone who got to Christianity by following what the scriptures say, and they were a Jew, well, a completed Jew, well, they no longer call themselves by the old thing.
That's
right? Well, so we have to come to the full place, which in my estimation is receiving what Jesus did, yes, by fully embracing what he brought us to.
Right.
Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise you can't be standing in that place. And I'm telling you, the more I worship the Holy Ghost and these things are opened up to me, the more I feel like I'm completely altered and changed. Where I can't even go back, I can't even think that other way before. I don't even understand how people live in that realm anymore. You know? Get over it. Quit playing around with that stuff. It either is finished or it isn't. Jesus either finished it and left, or he didn't. Let's read this again. Lest I just rehash everything. Although we could, because it's full circle. If I go full circle in this message, where I'm going to end up again? At the beginning, which means I'm just going to go around again. And Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, remember the things of old, the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. Who could this be talking about in our day, in our dispensation? The way we read this would have to be the Holy Ghost. Who's God in the earth? Holy Ghost. So when it says I am God, what's this Bible telling me? The Holy Ghost is talking to me. I am God, and there is none like me. Who in the earth is there any like? The Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. That's it. There's none like me. What's he do? Oh, we're gonna walk with God. Let's look and see what he does. Declaring the end from the beginning. How does God do things? He declares the result from the beginning. How are you going to declare things? What if I start talking about how to walk by faith? You call it the thing that be not as though it was. Are you here? So we're walking with God, declaring the end from the beginning. So how do we declare it is in our day? How do we declare about ourselves as the end or as the beginning? Either way, that's where we're going. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
What do you declare about yourself? I'm full circle. I've gone full circle. Was God declaring full circle from the beginning? Yes. Where are we supposed to end up? Last, first, first, last. It's the same thing. We're back at the beginning again.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
No consciousness of sins. Walking with God the Holy Ghost, because he's God in the earth. Right? And how do we walk with him in the earth? By speaking, by declaring the end from the beginning. How, what should you be declaring about your life? That you're at the beginning, you're at the end. Is this making sense, or am I just confusing you now? Glad I brought my Rubik's Cube. I still don't understand those things. I watch people straighten them out. I'm like, huh, must be a method to the madness. But there is a method to God's madness of bringing the Holy Ghost back into the earth. Jesus, the second Adam, paid the full price so that we could walk back in the earth with God. That was his original intent. That's full circle. That's where we are. Let me pray for you. Holy Ghost, I thank you for these people that they've tuned in today. Ha ha, that you're moving on them, straightening out their theology. And as you begin worshiping me, says the Lord, I will straighten things out for you so that you'll be able to see what I've called thee to be in the earth. And you shall go forth and be free in all the full great things of God. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy Ghost of God.